Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. Here we are in lesson 22 already in Genesis, back in chapter 11. And if you have your Bible for this segment, you can certainly turn to verses 10 through 26. And our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is back with us. Hi, Connie.
Oh, hello.
Well, what are we going to be learning about today?
Well, we're going to have a specific stylized account of the generations of Shem. And then we're going to find out about somebody named Terah. But what's important about Terah is he's the father of Abram.
Yes. And we're going to hear how old these people live to be. That's fascinating to me as well. Again, ladies, these might be some of our relatives. Those of you who are interested in your own genealogy, think about how far back you could go. And boy, some of these names are incredible. These are our people. So here we go. I'm going to read, and then Connie will teach us what all of this means. So starting in verse 10 of chapter 11, these are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he fathered Arpachshad 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arpachshad lived 35 years, he fathered Shelah. And Arpachshad lived after he fathered Shelah 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Shelah lived 30 years, he fathered Eber. And Shelah lived after he fathered Eber 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber had lived 34 years, he fathered Peleg. And Eber lived after he fathered Peleg 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg lived 30 years, he fathered Reu. And Peleg lived after he fathered Reu 209 years and had other sons and daughters. When Reu had lived 32 years, he fathered Serug. And Reu lived after he fathered Serug 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Serug had lived 30 years, he fathered Nahor. And Serug lived after he fathered Nahor 200 years and had other sons and daughters. When Nahor lived 29 years, he fathered Terah. And Nahor lived after he fathered Terah 119 years and had other sons and daughters. When Terah lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran.
Thank you, Amy. As we look through this passage, it's going to remind us of Genesis chapter 5, which was the generations of Adam and Seth. And I'll just I'll let you read the two and compare, but I will point out that in the account in chapter 5, we have, after it talks about someone fathered someone and had other sons and daughters, then we also have the verse, as in Genesis 5:5 says, "Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." So in chapter 5, the emphasis, or it's brought out that they died, and maybe that's more to do with Adam and his sin. Here we have God's grace, and we know that through this line of Shem, we're going to have eventually Jesus, and we already have heard of Abram, who is going to be the father of the Jews. And so that's a beautiful thing that God is doing. Notice as we go through this, there are 10 generations. And so again, that's a number of completeness. And so it's a package, and it's telling us something of what God desires us to know about these men and their lives. Another thing to notice, actually, as Amy read through this, is also in general, their lifespans shortened.
Yes, I noticed that.
Right, and also I noticed that most of them, it says they started having a son at age 29 or 30-something or whatever, and so their age of fatherhood is decreasing also.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. But remember when we studied a few chapters ago in Genesis, we learned that God said man's years will be 120,
mm-hmm.
and we're already seeing that they are now diminishing, and so they are not living as long as they did before the flood. We need to notice, of course, that the important people are really at the end, and so we find that we come to Terah, and there's a couple things about Terah we find from the rest of scriptures, and so I'm going to just clue you in and help you understand that, because Abram is going to be so important for the rest of Genesis and the rest of the Bible as the father of the Jews. We find that Terah actually lived someplace in the area of Mesopotamia, either southern or northern, we don't know, but we find out that he worshipped idols because Joshua tells us that. Joshua's 24:2.
Okay, I'll read that here. 24:2 says, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods.'"
Yes, and so, interesting. He didn't know God. But God is going to call him and his family to leave where they are and to go to Haran, which is in northern Mesopotamia. And he has a plan for them, which is God is working in and through things. And also, we know that have some other parts of Scripture. And actually, with Amy, I forgot to include verses 27 to 32, which are the important ones. And so I'm going to go back and we'll make sure we do that. My apologies for not having a complete script here for us. But what we know is that it says these are the generations of Terah. And so we're going to find some more details about this family, because this family is so very important. So I'm going to read, this is Genesis 11, verse 27. And it goes, Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And I'll just point out that Abram means exalted father. And so we get the sense that this is a wealthy family, perhaps a royal family. They're a family of means. And it says, and then Haran fathered Lot. And Lot is someone we're going to hear later in Scripture. And so Lot is Abram's nephew, all right? And then it says, Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And so that's someplace maybe near Babylon, maybe north of Babylon, somewhere in there. And then verse 29 tells us, and Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the daughter of Milcah and Iscah. And so we're finding this family is intermarrying, and we're going to find out that Sarai is actually Abram's sister.
Yes.
Half-sister. They have different mothers, but the same father.
Okay.
And as we go through Genesis, we're going to find Abraham uses that fact deceitfully, actually, to fool other people into thinking that Sarai is his sister and not his wife. She's both, but he leaves out the wife part.
Yes.
So we'll find that as we go through Genesis here. But then we also find a very key fact in verse 30. It says, now Sarai was barren, she had no child. And that is something that throughout Scripture, when a woman is barren, it's a curse really on the woman, because she's not being fruitful, she's not multiplying, she's not having children, descendants. And this is going to be a problem for the several chapters in Genesis, because God is going to make a promise to Abram about descendants from him. And so we'll see how God deals with this. But here, this is a clue already. We know some of what's going to be happening in this family. All right. And then verse 31 says, Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and his daughter, actually. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So they went on the way to Canaan. They were going north, and then they stopped in northern Mesopotamia, but they didn't get all the way to Canaan, which is actually where Israel is now. And then we find, it says, the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And so he takes his family partway to Canaan and dies there. And then we're going to pick up in the next chapter when we next meet, learning what happens with God and Abram. But just want to point out a few more things about Terah as this father of this very, very important family. We're going to find out that he also is the great-grandfather of Leah and Rachel, who will marry Jacob. And this is through Laban, which descends from him. And then also, he died here, it tells us, at the age of 205. And so there's a little, if you do the math, it's a little bit confusing. When was Abram born? And not sure. He was born sometime after Terah was 70 years old, but maybe he was actually 130 or so, because if he lived to 100, if Terah lived to 205 years, Abram, we know, left Haran at age 75.
Okay.
So anyway, details of math, but Scripture makes sense. Sometimes we don't understand exactly what the accounts meant of how they spoke it directly, as far as like how old somebody was. And then I'll just refer us to Acts, because Stephen in his sermon talks about Abram coming from his birthplace to go to where God called him to be. And we find that God called him when he was living in that area, Ur of the Chaldeans. So Amy, if you'd read that, please.
Yes, Acts chapter 7, if you're looking for it, verses 2 through 4. And Stephen said, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living.
All right. Thank you, Amy. And I think as we consider this portion of Scripture and just having a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future, we need to see how God is acting in human history, using people to accomplish his purposes. He's going to a pagan family who does not know him. He's getting them to move. He's bringing them to a land he's promising. We're going to find so much more as we get into chapter 12. But truly, God is acting, and he has his purposes. And this is all part of his plan to, again, bring that promised seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head. And that's going to be our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we see him in Genesis 3:15. We did all those lessons ago.
Yes.
Now, thank you so much, Connie, for teaching us this. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we need to talk about some personal application. So Nancy will join me in the next segment. Stick around. We will be right back.